Is everybody there at Psalm 15? Psalm 15, would you stand with me together this morning out of honor and love and respect for God's Word? Thank you so much, visitors, for being here. From Arkansas, from Denton, and from Little Elm. Amen. Good to see you guys. Thank you for coming this morning.
Amen.
I appreciate every one of you being here from our home folks, too. We certainly don't want to overlook that. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, and so right off the bat, we know that we're talking to the Lord. This is a prayer. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Again, look in verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Then verse 5, the last sentence says, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. I want to preach this morning. It's going to be really a two-part message, so I hope you'll come back tonight anyway. But I want to preach on moving away without moving away. Moving away without moving away. Let's pray. Father, I need your help this morning. You know that. I certainly do not desire to say anything that I want to say. God, I love you. I love your word. I thank you, Lord, for your pure and powerful salvation and eternal that can never end. And Lord, I long to live for you all the days of my life out of gratitude and thanksgiving, Lord, for that salvation. I long, Lord God, like we heard in Sunday school, to be zealous for your people, for my family, for this church, and for my Savior, and for this book. And God, I pray that today you would fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. You would fill my lips, Lord God, with right words. Words that would be the oracles of God. That each person here today would listen on purpose. That there would be no distractions. We pray that you would bind Satan. Lord, do not allow him to hinder, distract us in any way. Lord, I pray for the lost souls that may be here this morning. Those who do not know that if they died right now, they do not know that they'd go to heaven. Lord, they want to. They would like to. And they'd like to think that they would. But Lord, they really just don't know. Oh God, would you do a special work in their hearts? And Lord, for those of us who are saved, I pray that you would strengthen your disciples today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As many of you know, and you've heard us announce a few times, two of my daughters are moving on to the next phase in their lives this very week. And what I want to emphasize through this message tonight, today and tonight, is that although they're moving away, that they must never allow themselves to be moved away. Now, don't worry, I'm going to preach to them, but not just to them, because we can all learn something, because it's still going to be Bible. But I want to start off by letting you know there's good moved and there's bad moved. Okay? To be moved in your heart to do more for God is good.
Amen.
I mean, when God speaks to our hearts and He moves in our hearts and we can hear His voice, He stirs our hearts. And listen, that's good. Because that means He's speaking to us and He wants to move us in the right direction, and that's good. And to be moved in your heart to live for God all the days of your life, well, that's good. I mean, for God to speak to you and want and give you a greater desire to be who you're supposed to be, that's good. I mean, that's good moving. God moves us through His Word. God moves us through His Holy Spirit. And we are drawn closer to Him. We are drawn to be closer to His perfect will and to stay there and to never move again. That's good. That's what God wants to do today through the message. But can I tell you, there's also bad moving. In our text today in verse 5 of Psalm 15, never being moved, this is a bad moving. This particular moving is referring to being moved away from God. It means to be moved away from His holy hill. It means to be moved away from His tabernacle. It means to be moved away from His presence. It's a reference to being moved away from His power. It's a reference to being moved away from what is good and godly and holy. It's a reference to being moved away from serving the Lord and going to church and reading and studying my Bible and praying and walking with... It's a reference to being moved away from all that God wants us to be drawn to. God's people, I want you to understand something. We must always, ever, forever be aware and alert and understand that this world has appeal that is always trying to move us away from God. Away from God. It's got bright lights. It's got glitter. It's got glamour. It's got so-called glory. It's got so-called pleasure. It's got so-called fame and fortune. And listen to me, it's always, always there for one purpose and one reason, to move us away from God. The devil, let me tell you this morning, the devil is real. And he's always trying to move us away from God. In the Garden of Eden, he told Eve, he said, Eve, you won't die. Just eat of that fruit. But Eve said, the devil, you don't understand. And I hope you don't have too many conversations with the devil. I hope that you'll just resist him and let him flee. But she wasn't grounded. She wasn't ready for his attack that day. And he said, Eve, listen, did God really say that you can't eat of that tree? And she said, yes, that's what he said. And he said, well, no, don't worry about that. What God said is a lie. You can eat of that tree. Now, you know what he was doing, church? Is he was doing everything in his power to move Eve away from God. To move Eve away from obeying the Word of God. To move Eve away from the will of God. And can I tell you something? From the very beginning of time as we know it, that's all he has done. Amen. You see, God unites families and unites churches and unites loved ones and unites a people together through His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the same for every single believer. Amen. He doesn't change for you and change for me. But the fact is, He draws us when we'll allow Him to control us and fill us. We're drawn to others that are like that, that are like us. And through His Holy Spirit, He makes us a big, very tight, bonded, knit family. Amen. But the devil comes in with an axe, with a chainsaw, and starts cutting things away. And starts dividing and starts splitting up that which God wants to put together. You know why? Because He wants us to be moved away from God. Sin. Sin is always trying to move us away from our Savior. There's no, again, I don't want to re-preach anything that I've preached in the past, but I cannot emphasize to you enough. I cannot overemphasize the devastating effects of sin on you and your life. There is nothing good about the sin that you are tempted to do every day. Nothing. And there is nothing good about what it does to you. There's nothing good about the changes makes in you, and ultimately what it does is draws us away from God. Yep. It moves us away from God. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 to be drawn nigh unto God, and then He will draw nigh unto us. There is a reason God says that. He's telling us to draw nigh or to draw close to Him. Why? Because He knows that everything else in this world is trying to move us away from Him. From Him. The sin in this world, the Bible tells us it's nothing but deception. It's nothing but, can I tell you something else? Evil friends, wrong friends, evil companions, always, listen to me, always try to draw us away from God. Always. You know, if you think that you're going to change your wicked friends, you don't understand the Bible.
Amen.
What you need to understand is you can love them and you can pray for them and you can be friendly, but you don't be friends. You can be friendly without being friends. Because if you know that those people are not, listen, if they're not in church and they don't want to be in church, then they're a bad friend. They're a wrong friend.
Amen.
Invite them to church and see what they say.
Sure. Amen.
Invite them to church and see what they say, and then you'll be able to determine, well, how do I know, preacher? Invite them to church and see what they say.
Amen.
Take your Bible over to the house and say, hey, let's read. Let's study about Jesus. What do you think? Well, you'll find out pretty quick. And if they don't like that, if they're not for that, then they're against it. That's what the Bible says. If they're not for Jesus, they're against Jesus. There is no gray area. There is no middle of the road. There is no way to stay both sides of the fence. You're either for Jesus or you're against Jesus, my friend. And the friends that are against Jesus, they may not say, well, you're, but sooner or later, they're going to do something. They're going to say something. They're going to tempt you and entice you. And my friend, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't give in to them. Because they're trying to move you away.
Yeah.
From God. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not a teenager anymore. Oh, it's not just for teenagers.
Come on. Come on.
You've got co-workers.
Amen.
You've got, unfortunately, family members,
yeah.
Relatives. And if they're not for Jesus, they're against Him.
Okay.
And if they're against Jesus, they're against you. They don't really want you to follow Jesus because it makes them feel guilty.
Right, absolutely.
It makes them feel like they're doing something wrong because they are.
Yeah.
They are. But see, they're always trying to pull us away from God. Pull us away. And listen, if they ever say to you, man, why are you going to church again? Red flag.
Amen.
Why are you going to church so much? Light bulb, flashing red warning sign, that's not a good friend. You know, our flesh, our pride, always trying to move us away. Let me tell you something to you. I don't have to say this to you probably, but I'm going to say it anyway. God never wants us to be moved away.
That's right.
God's the one that says, draw nigh. Jesus is the one that said, come unto me. See, God never wants us to be drawn away.
Amen.
God never wants us to be moved away.
Yes.
God never wants us to go away from Him. He knows what's going to happen when we do. The Ephesians, in Revelation chapter 2, the Ephesians, the Bible says they left their first love.
Yeah.
They left their first love. They were moved away from their Savior. They were a church body that was working. Listen, they were working. They were busy. They were going and attending the assembly, so to speak. But they had left their first love. They were no longer in love with Jesus. Something had drawn them or moved them away from Him. It happens, church. It will happen to you, too, if you don't listen. David was the king of all of Jerusalem, a mighty man of war. He had won battle after battle. God had blessed him. God had, with his hand, had blessed him and taken care of him and given him victory after victory over nation after nation. His enemies were finally put to rest, and he had smooth sailing in the city of Jerusalem, in his castle there. And one night, when the Bible says that actually it was one day. When the Bible says the kings were supposed to be at war, at battle, the Bible says David woke up and walked out onto the terrace of his castle there and looked over and saw a beautiful woman bathing. He was not where he was supposed to be.
That's right.
He was supposed to be at battle because he was the king. He was supposed to be at battle because he was the king. You know, every time you are not where you're supposed to be, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
So he looked over that porch, that balcony of that castle that day. And by the way, what was he doing just getting out of bed in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
And he saw a beautiful woman bathing herself. And he told his servants, because he was the king and he had the power to do it, he said, "Go get me that woman." His own servants, now they're just servants, they said, "King, she's married." He said, "I don't care. Go get me that woman." See, when you get out of God's will and you're not where you're supposed to be, you don't think straight, you don't act right, you don't listen to reason. Everybody around him said, "David, this is not a good thing." "Oh, I don't care. I'm the king." Yeah, your pride is about to kill you. So he looked over that wall and said, "Go get me that woman." Well, they had to obey, because they could tell he was just going to do it himself. He was going to get that woman one way or another. You know, our minds go berserk when we're not where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do out of God's will. And so not only was he not where he was supposed to be, he was drawn away even further because he committed adultery with that woman. And then he had her husband killed.
Yeah, that's right.
And it all started with him being drawn away from where he was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, schools will literally, nowadays, write you up for truancy, for not being there when you're supposed to be there. God doesn't do that when you miss church, but you miss a whole lot more when you miss church than when you miss school. Because there's something going on here for you that you need. Instead, you're doing something that you want to do, and literally, listen, you're moved away from God. David ruined, you know, the Bible says that the baby that they had died. The sword never left his home. In other words, his children, he had adultery within his, he had rape in his family, he had murder in his family from that day until the day he died.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he was drawn away from God by his pride, by his lust, by his flesh, by his desires. You remember a man named Lot. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know what Sodom was. Sodom was the land of the Sodomites.
Yeah.
Men committing unnatural, very ungodly acts with one another.
Yeah.
And he was drawn away from Abraham. He was drawn away from God's will. And the Bible says he's pitched his tent towards Sodom. What that means is every day he got up and he walked out of his tent, he saw Sodom. He saw that ungodly, wicked city. Every day he got up, Sodom. Every day, Sodom. You know, what's the first thing you look at when you get up? My beautiful wife. She's even pretty when she gets out of bed. Ha. You don't believe that, but you don't have to. You're never going to see it.
Amen.
This ought to be the first thing we look at.
Amen.
When we get out of bed. You know why? Because this, we need to start our day with God.
Amen.
We need to start our day with God. You know what? We need to be drawn to God as soon as we get up in the morning.
Amen.
And this is how we're going to do it. Instead, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, got up. Oh, look. There's Sodomites again. There's Sodomites again. You know what? Eventually, he moved into Sodom. Eventually, he was even on the... Well, he was part of the government of Sodom. He was elected as one of their leaders. Then, his family grew up in Sodom. They became Sodomites themselves. His sons-in-law. His wife, when they left Sodom, turned back because her heart was still there, turned into a pillar of salt. Then he had two daughters left, and they committed incest with him.
Yeah.
And they got him drunk and committed fornication with their own dad. Now, is that what you want for your family? It's not what I want for my family.
Amen.
But you know what? Lot was drawn away from God because he pitched his tent toward the world. He looked at the world first thing every day. He kept staring at the world, kept staring at the world. Peter was moved away from Jesus. Peter denied that he even knew Jesus three times. Denied, 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 denied. Because of his pride. Because he would not admit that Jesus warned him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But here's what happened. Peter said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's foolishness to say, God, you're wrong and I'm right. Do not ever do that.
Amen.
Don't ever do that.
Amen.
When God says something in His Word, it's right. It cannot change. He cannot lie.
Amen.
When we cannot try to change God's Word, we need to let God's Word change us.
Amen.
Draw to God. Not be moved away. Judas Iscariot. Remember him? Oh, he loved that silver. How much money is it going to take for you to get out of God's house, get out of God's will? You teenagers grow up, you're going to get a job. And the first thing you're going to do, stop going to church. Because you got to make money. You got to make money, huh? I'm telling you, this happens. It just happens all the time. Oh, but they got saved, and preacher, they got baptized, and they I hear their parents say, praise the Lord, I'm so glad they're going to church, and praise God, this is the answer to prayer. But then they grow up and they get old enough to get a job, and then they're gone. Why? Because they got to make some money. How much money is it going to take to get you out of church?
Yeah,
all that's doing is drawing you, moving you away from God. That's all it's doing. Adults, we do the same thing, don't we? We take work schedules that we know we're going to miss church, but yet we got to have that money. No, we need to have God.
Amen.
Y'all can get quiet all you want to, but those jobs move us away from God. They do. That money, just like Judas. By the way, Judas was so sick and with guilt, he threw the money back and he went out and he hung himself.
Yeah.
And he's in hell right now. You know, he could have repented and he could have got saved, but you know, he didn't get saved. He was lost, the Bible says. Because he loved money. He's drawn away from God. Our girls are moving away from home. And can I tell you, girls, you better listen today, because every one of these things is coming your way.
Man, that's right. Absolutely.
You better listen today, and you better decide right now that when you leave this place tonight, that you're going to have your heart filled with purpose, determination, decision, that I will never be moved away from my roots. And listen to me, Christian, as I preach to my daughters and lovingly try to encourage them, I want you to understand that there's always, no matter where we move or go, to be never moved away from God, it should be our heart's cry. God, don't let anything move me away.
Amen. Yeah.
To never be moved means to be consistent. To never be moved means to be faithful. To never be moved means to be stable. To never be moved means to be established. To never be moved means to be settled. It means to be fixed. It means to be focused. It means to be anchored. It means to be planted and deeply rooted wherever I live, wherever I go, wherever life takes me. I'm not moving from my God.
Amen.
And once I get to heaven, this is a blessed thought. I'm never going to be moved away again.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
I thought that was the best thought of the whole message. Amen. I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I'm never going to be moved away again.
Amen.
Oh, but you know, I want to share something with you this morning, and we'll just go through these. You don't have to wait to get to heaven, though.
Right.
You don't have to wait to get to heaven. There are many advantages in this life to never being moved away from God. There are advantages in this life. You say, well, I'm not going to be moved away from God because I want to go to heaven. I'm not talking about going to heaven. Once you're saved, you're saved.
Amen.
I'm talking about being moved away from the blessings of God, the protection of God, the safety that God gives us, His hedge around us, His perfect will for our lives. I'm talking about not being moved away from the destruction that sin still can bring to a Christian.
Amen.
You know, God is no respecter of persons, but neither is Satan.
That's right.
Neither is sin. Neither is this world. And it's trying to move you away. There are many advantages, blessings. Look in the very next Psalm, 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, when I'm not moved away from God, I'm very close to the Lord. Now you say, preacher, that makes sense. That's only obvious. But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Would you mind standing up and helping me a little bit? I'll warm you up a minute. Okay, you're right there. Okay, you don't have to look at them. They're scary, I know. But okay, now if I'm moved away from God, Joel's God. Did you know that? Okay, God doesn't change. He doesn't move. See, when I move over close to Him, see, I'm right in His presence.
Amen.
I'm not in the presence of a thing,
right,
or an idea, or a belief.
Yeah.
I'm in the presence of the very God,
amen,
of heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, when I'm not moved away, I'm right here where He's at.
Amen.
I'm in His presence. That Bible says, thank you, buddy, I'm right beside the very Creator and Sustainer of all of the universe. The One who breathed life into me. I'm in His very presence. I'm not going to be moved away from there because He's the One that I need. He's the One that I love. He's the One that I cherish. He's the One that I long for. Not His blessings necessarily, but Him. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is all. He is all there is to life to me. To me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
See, I don't want to be drawn away because when I get drawn away, I get drawn away from His presence.
Amen.
In His presence, the Bible says, at His right hand, there is fullness of joy. See, look in verse 8, verse 9, the next verse. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoices. Therefore, why? Because I shall not be moved. Why? Because I'm right there at His right hand. He's right before me. He's right beside me. He's there and I'm in His presence. My heart is glad. When's the last time you could say, my heart is full of gladness and joy? Boy, life is trying to move you away from what God wants to be, gladness. It says, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall also rest in hope. Oh, my soul. Do you have gladness in your heart? Do you have rejoicing in your heart? Do you have rest in your soul? Do you have hope? Blessed hope that one day you know He's coming back for you. Do you really have that today?
Amen.
Do you really have that today?
Amen.
You know what? There are days that I don't.
Right. Amen.
And there are days you don't.
Right.
And those aren't good days. Those aren't good days. Those are the bad days.
Yeah, man.
But you know, there can be anything come my way. Anything at all can come my way. Trials, temptations, struggles, battles. But when I'm in His presence, my heart is glad. I have peace in my soul. I have rest in my mind. I'm at rest. I'm not sleeping necessarily, but I'm at peace.
Amen.
You know, the world is always looking for peace. People are always looking for peace. There is no peace outside of the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe you didn't hear me. Let me say that again. There's no peace outside of the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Because He is our peace.
Amen.
Amen.
He is our joy. He is our hope.
Amen.
He is our gladness. He is our salvation.
Amen.
It's not a religion, church.
Right.
It's a person I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about being in the presence of God. See, when I moved away, I moved away from all of that.
Amen.
I moved away from gladness. I moved away from peace. I moved away from hope. I moved away from His presence. His smiling face. There are many advantages to being close to God. Close to God. Look in Psalm 92. Quickly, Psalm 92 this morning. Verse 13. Psalm 92, verse 13. Verse 13, Psalm 92. Those that be planted, where? In the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now that fat does not mean what you think it means. That fat means blossoming. That fat means blooming. That fat means radiant, fruitful, prosperous. Listen to me today. Planted in the house of the Lord is not being moved away from His house. It's not being moved away from His presence. It's to be never moved, a consistent, faithful, like I said earlier, rooted and planted in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that anybody that will plant themselves in the house of God will flourish.
Yeah.
The flourishing means I'm producing fruit. I have a glorious, radiant countenance. There's good things happening in my life. Changes are going on inside me, and they're becoming visible on the outside. You know, many times when you first get saved and you first get in church, you sit there and you wonder, wow. And you hear preaching about something like this and you think, I'm never going to have that gladness. I'm never going to have that peace. I don't know anything about that. And you don't when you first get saved. You just know you got saved. You know you needed to be born again. And there should have been some peace when you got your sins forgiven, however. But the fact is, that from that point on, you're like thinking, man, this sounds good, but can it really be? Well, the problem is, you won't get planted.
That's right.
Planted in the house of God. Firmly rooted and planted in God's house. And then and only then will you begin to flourish. What God is doing inside will begin to show on the outside. You'll change the way you dress. You'll change the way you talk. You'll change the way you fix your hair. You might even cut it off if it's long. Or if it's, you know what I'm talking about. Did you cut your hair off? You did, didn't you? I'm sorry, Jermaine, I wasn't talking about you. You might even change the way you look. You used to look like the world, Now you look like a Christian. You used to talk like the world. Now you talk like a Christian. You used to go to places. Now you go to church. Amen. See, everything begins to flourish. Why? Because you're planted.
Amen.
You're not just wishy-washy, in and out. You're not being moved away. You see, my life begins to flourish. It begins to show on the outside what God's doing on the inside. Quickly, Exodus 14. We're going to use our Bibles now. Exodus 14. Genesis, Exodus. It's easy to find. Verse 13. 14, 13. Many of you have heard this verse. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. You see, and see, notice what it says, the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you to you today. For the Egyptians with whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. You're going to see miracles when you do not allow yourself to be moved.
Amen.
What happened here is the Egyptians were on the heels of God's people. On the back, they were pursuing them quickly, and in front of them was the Red Sea. They couldn't go anywhere, and Pharaoh's army was coming quickly. And they cried out to God, and the man of God told them, stand still. First he said, fear ye not. You know, many people run because of fear. Many people don't ever get planted and rooted in God's house and in God's will because, well, they're afraid of, well, any number of things. They're afraid that it can't happen to them. They're afraid that they're not going to be good enough. You're not good enough, but if you'll just do what God says, He is good enough.
Amen.
He is able. He is able. But so the man of God said, look, stand still. Stand still. Don't move. Don't panic. How many lives are destroyed because of panic? I can't do this anymore. Woo! And they're gone. They're moved away. Well, see, when I stand still, God says I'm going to see the salvation, not of my soul only, but miracles that are going to take me and deliver me from things that God meant for me to grow from. The devil's trying to destroy me, but they're going to help me grow. They're going to make me stronger because I'm going to see that God can do it.
Amen.
But if you don't stand, you won't see it.
Right.
You won't see it. You won't see it. You've got to stand still. It allows me to see miracles. I wish I could preach on it. I can't. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'm just giving you some advantages to standing still, to never being moved. Isaiah 40, 31. Most of you could quote this, probably at least some of you anyway. I can, but I'll turn there with you. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You see, when I wait upon the Lord, I don't allow this world to move me away. I wait on God. That means to trust Him. That means to stay with Him. That means to stay still and not be moved. I wait on what He's going to do. Are you listening to me this morning? I wait on God. It gives me strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It gives me physical strength, preacher. Yeah, it sure does. It gives me spiritual strength. Yeah, it sure does. How about mental strength? Yeah, it sure does. How about emotional strength? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the strength you can imagine. It's in God. Wait, wait, wait. Don't run. Don't be moved. Wait. Stand still.
Amen.
You're never going to see the strength that you need. You're never going to have the strength that you're longing for. Oh God, give me the strength. But yet you will not stand still. You will not wait. The Bible makes a promise. You will have strength.
Amen.
You will have new strength that you did not have before. If you'll wait. Wait. It'll give you new strength. I'm talking about the blessings of never being moved. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 this morning. Everybody okay?
Amen.
John chapter 6. Look in verse 66. There are many advantages, many blessings to not being moved away from God. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. They got moved away. You see that? John 6, 66. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Look up here real quick. What if everybody else went away? Look up here. Will you also go away? He asked them that question. Everybody else was gone. I mean, this was a crowd of over 5,000 people that he had fed, and now they came back for something else to eat. And he preached to them about, what you really need is me, not food. And they all got offended, and they walked away, all of them. Yep. And he turned to his 12. There's more than that here. He said, okay, well, you're going to go away too? Jesus, where's your compassion? You know, Jesus is just a realist.
Amen.
He knows. If you want to go away, He said, you can go away too. But look what Peter said. Look what it said, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? There again, it's not to what or to where, but to whom. They knew who they had believed. And they were persuaded that He was able. Look what it says. To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the what? Words of eternal life. Where am I going to find those words, preacher? Right here. Right here. Thou hast the word. And look what verse 69 says. And we believe. Oh, preacher, I believe. Okay, you may believe today until everybody goes away. Until fear sets in. Until a problem hits. We believe, preacher, but notice the next few words. And are sure.
Amen.
That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, I believe, preacher. I believe, preacher. I believe, preacher. But as soon as something comes your way, whew, you're gone. Why? Because you're not sure.
That's right.
You see, if for me to stay with Christ is going to get me to the point where I have those same convictions. That I don't just believe, preacher, but I know!
Yeah. Amen.
I know that He has the words of eternal life. I know that He's the only one that can help me. I know that He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I know. I'm sure. Why? Because I'm not leaving.
Right.
Because I'm not leaving. I believe, preacher. And listen, you can be saved through faith, by grace, through faith. Hey, listen, you're saved.
Amen.
But you better stay right here because you need to get sure.
Amen. Yeah.
You better stay in that book because those are the words of life. You better stay in His presence by Him. To whom shall we go? I mean, who am I going to go to? Mommy?
Mom.
Girlfriend? Boyfriend? I'm not even going to go to my wife when things are really... I'm going to God!
Amen.
Who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to my boss. He'll give me overtime. What? You giggle. It's happening all the time.
Yeah. Amen.
Who am I going to go to? Well, I'll go find... somebody on TV can tell me what to do. Oh, but I'm saved, preacher. What's wrong with you? You're not planted. You're not rooted. You're being moved.
Yeah.
And so you don't really know for sure. Some of you don't even really know for sure you're going to heaven. You know why? Because you're not in that book. I got saved such and such and such and such. I hear that all the time. Okay, really? So are you sure that if you died right now, if you fell over in that chair and you stopped breathing, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I'd like to think so. You know what I know right off the bat? Is they never got grounded. They never got rooted. They never got planted. They got moved away. Now, many times I'll go through the Bible and give them assurance of their side. And they, okay, I've already done that. Okay, so what you need to understand is you're saved. You're saved forever. And then I tell them, you need to get baptized. You need to get in church. You need to get grounded. Or else you're going to get moved away sooner or later. And guess what they don't? Normally they don't do.
Right.
Exactly what God tells them to do. Why? Because they're moved away. But see, if I would stay, if I would stand still, if I wait on God, if I'll not move to anybody else, I'll be able to say one day, just like Peter, I'm sure that you're the only one. And then when the preacher preaches like this, you'll get excited. You'll shout. You'll want to say, amen, hallelujah, preacher. Why? Because I'm sure. Amen. Instead, you're just like, what's he so excited about? Well, I'm excited because I'm sure.
Amen. That's good.
I mean, you get excited about things that I wonder what you are, why you're getting excited. But this is the only thing that's eternal in life. This is worth getting excited about, amen. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm hurrying, but I'm having a good time. Y'all are really being good to me today. I appreciate your patience. 1 Corinthians over there, verse chapter 15, verse 57. I'm almost done though, don't worry. Don't get fidgety, I promise. I'm almost done. Only got about an hour left. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 57. First Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's salvation, man. I've got victory over death. I've got victory over sin. I've got victory over the grave. Therefore, verse 58, because I have that victory, my beloved brethren, you're saved today. Be ye steadfast. Notice that next word. Unmovable. I have victory in Jesus. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved forever. But I must be unmovable. Amen. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, notice, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, it gives me real purpose to living. A real purpose to my life. What is that purpose, preacher? To do the work of the Lord. You know why some of you won't serve God? Because you're moved away. I can't put you in places of responsibility. I've got so many things that I need done around here that I need help with, but I can't find people that aren't moved away by every breath of wind that blows. But see, if I realize I've got victory in Jesus, therefore, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm not going to be moved. And I know that everything that I do, laboring and serving and working, abounding, I know it's not in vain. You know, there are so many things that you do all day long that are absolutely in vain.
Hell yeah. Come on.
I mean, we spend our times doing things that are absolutely worthless.
Yeah.
I mean, some of you surf on that stupid Facebook for hours. What in the world are you doing? Get out and serve God. Well, no, preacher, I'm having more fun here. No, the problem is you're moved away.
Right.
I don't want you to move away from God. There's no blessings in Facebook.
There's
blessings in the presence of God. There's blessings in the victory through Jesus Christ. There's blessings in the abundant grace that God gives us through our faith and our serving the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Josh just started, he's going to start driving the van for me.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that a blessing? You know why? Because he doesn't want to be moved.
Amen. God.
And that's a blessing when you see somebody begin to flourish. The things that God does, they begin to show on the outside. But it's not going to happen. They've been faithful. They've been here for nearly 3 years. Why? Because they realized something. God did something in their heart. I'm not going to be moved. It hasn't been easy. I've been with them every step of the way. I led them to the Lord. I baptized them. I married them. I've seen the trials they've gone through. It hasn't been easy. But they said, I'm not moving.
Amen.
What about you? Where are you going to be a month from now? Where are you going to be when you're old enough to find your own job and get a car? But see, there's a purpose. The things that I do for God are never in vain. Never. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. exciting to serve God. It's exciting to be just to decide, I'm not being moved. Well, you know, there's nothing better than that, to have that in your heart, to know nothing's taking me away. Nothing's taking me away. Nobody's going to take me away. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now listen. So I got saved. I received Him. You see that? But the Bible says, okay, you can't stop there. It says, so walk ye in Him. Rooted. Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted. Okay, I've got to get rooted first before I get built up in Him. Established in the faith. As you have been taught. I've got to let somebody teach me. I've got to let the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, someone else who's more experienced, I've got to let them teach me so I don't get busted up and moved away. But notice what it says, abounding therein. If I'll get rooted, if I'll get built up and established, I'll let myself to be taught. I don't know everything. I'm going to be teachable. And one day I'm going to be abounding in that life with what? Thanksgiving. It will make you thankful.
Amen.
Oh my soul, we have a world of people that are so miserable.
Amen.
They are miserable. They're whining and bellyaching and complaining about everything. And then you ask them, say, yeah, I'm saved. You know why? Because they're not rooted in Christ.
Yeah, right.
They're not thankful. The Bible says, if I'll get rooted and I'll begin to get built up, that's the strength. That means to be stronger. And I'll get to be established where I'm not going to be moved. Then I'm going to abound in that life with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Do you ever just break out in song at work, at home? I mean, is there a song in your heart?
Amen.
There would be if you weren't so moved away.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I just want to thank you, Jesus. You know, you got to do what God says so you can get the blessings and be thankful. And you'll be able to see things differently through different eyes because you've been through enough to know that He's enough for you.
Yeah.
Not if you keep moving away. And finally, I promise, this is the last one. Hebrews 13. There's more, but this is the last one that I wrote down. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Talking about the blessings of never being moved away from God. I'm trying to encourage my daughters, but I'm trying to encourage you as well.
Yeah.
Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hey folks, when I'm not moved away, it's then and only then that I'm like Christ.
Amen.
I'm like Christ. Christ has never changed.
Right. Amen.
He started at the right hand of the Father, and now He's returned to the right hand of the Father forever.
Amen.
Well, He came to earth, preacher. He came to earth, but He wasn't any less God on earth as He was in heaven.
Absolutely.
He was just all man and all God.
Yeah.
And when I decide, I'm not going to change. Yesterday, I was next to God. Today, I'm going to stay next to God in His presence. I'm not going to be moved. Tomorrow, you'll find me next to God.
Amen.
You know why? Because I want to be like Christ.
Amen.
I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like my Savior.
Yeah.
Because I know that there and only there will I find real peace.
Amen.
Real rest, real contentment, real blessings, real purpose, real, not just soul salvation, eternal life, but I'll know that I'm saved and I'll be so sure of it that you won't be able to talk me out of it no matter what you say.
Amen.
A Jehovah's Witness could come along and talk you out of your salvation. Most of you just like that. So why? Because you're not rooted.
Yeah.
You're not planted. Now look, I've showed you a lot of blessings. I hope you're listening. I've had a good time, and I hope you heard something.
Amen. Praise God.
But back in Psalm 15, don't have to turn there, just listen. Back in Psalm 15, there's a few other verses in that chapter. And those verses line out for you and me exactly what we need to do to never be moved.
Amen.
Tonight, That's what I'm going to preach.
All right.
Exactly what we need to do so that we're never moved away from God. Please come back tonight. I don't want you to be moved.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to be moved. And listen, if you're honest with yourself, you ought not want to be moved.
Amen.
I don't know if I said that right, but you know what I mean. You ought not want to be moved.
Amen.
There you go. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, Lord, today you've been good to us. You've met with us today.